Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Travelogue, When It's All Over.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 27. Listen to God's word. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were there talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are having with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "And you are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Nick. And we're going to continue with this account. And it says, as they near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" In that same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simeon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again for your blessings, your presence being here in this place. We ask God now that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of our hearts may be pleasing unto you. Lord, as we enter this time, we enter, Lord, into that moment where our hearts are tender. And so, God, we do ask, may your word reach us, teach us, convict us, heal us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at traveling stories in the Bible. And some of you have mentioned just how much traveling takes place in the Bible. And alongside you, I agree. The first week, we looked at the story of Jonah. and how he went to Tarshish. And maybe all of us at some level want to go to Tarshish. You know, Tarshish is the good life, but we are called to go to Nineveh. And Nineveh is that place where we are called to be a blessing to the people of the world and where we see God working his power, but also his wonder among us. And then we looked at the Good Samaritan, a story not about who is my neighbor. Remember, we decided that's the easy question. That's the easy thing to answer. But rather, am I a good neighbor to others? And like all traveling stories, and much like our own travels, we reach the destination, we come back home, I guess you could say. Now, I must admit that the account of these two disciples, Cleopas and his wife on the road to Emmaus, has always been a bit of a puzzle for me. Never quite sure what to make of it. But then I saw it. And in return, you're going to see it too. Because what it does is it asks this question of what does it mean to be a Christian after the resurrection? What's the point of the gospel in your life? Because for these two disciples, they had reached the end of the road in their faith. It was all over. Jesus had died. There were rumors that he was going to be alive or that he was alive, but there was no evidence. And what do you make of this tragic death, this crucifixion? Everything that they thought the world was going to be like is gone, doesn't exist anymore. So what is the road to Emmaus? The road to Emmaus was and is, it meant for them back then, what does it mean to be a Christian? And it means today for us, what does it mean to be a Christian for today? And so first, we need to focus on the sadness over the failure of human hope. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you were truly let down? And I'm not talking about let down by yourself. You didn't make the grade. You didn't make the cut. I'm talking about you were seriously let down by someone that you just thought, gosh, how could they have let me down? Now, you've all experienced this at one level because we all have a family. And we've all been let down one time or the other by our family. And so here, what we know is that when we place hope in each other and when they don't deliver, that failure is deep. And for Cleopas and his wife, they found themselves very much let down, very disappointed. But it was by one person. It was Jesus. After all his words, his miracles, the displays of humble power, he's arrested. He dies a criminal's death on a cross. And on top of that, he doesn't even fulfill the plan of being the king over Israel and consequently redeeming the whole world. You got to get a sense of this. What they are feeling is a letdown that you could feel deep. Deep in your soul. You know, over the last 2 weeks, many of you have lamented over the condition of our world, but also of our nation. You know, we turn on the television, you hear about Charlottesville, you hear about rumors of wars, about war, you hear about famine, about disease and hunger, and many of you ask yourself, what's going on? Has the world just gone crazy all of a sudden? Are people really like this? I want to ask you, I want to tell you something here. And this is an important thing, and it's something that we don't preach about often, because the truth is we preach a gospel of Tarshish, meaning a gospel about the good life. But I want to tell you something. As a Christian, you are not immune to the events of your day and time. You're not immune from being let down. As a Christian, you will experience the death of someone that you love way before it was the time you felt they deserved. As a Christian, you will get cancer. You will die of a terminal illness. As a Christian, you may lose your employment. You may lose your status. You may lose your family. As a Christian, you will face many trials and persecutions. You're not immune to any of this. And I got to tell you this because if I keep preaching a gospel about the good life, what are you going to do when you get these trials and persecutions? What faith do you have if it's all supposed to be good? Cleopas and his wife respond in this way, and it's unique. They walk away from Jerusalem, the very center of action, and they go to Emmaus. Gosh, I just want you to know that you are not immune from that pilgrimage to leave it all behind. And perhaps you know someone, or perhaps you have been praying for someone that has walked away from Jerusalem or has gone away to Emmaus. And maybe you have felt that letdown that you say to yourself, Jesus, where were you? I mean, Jesus, is this what I signed up for? I mean, is this the gospel? Is it? But the Lord, He has this way of being that's just, it's unexpected. And so as Cleopas and his wife are walking, this stranger shows up, but they're kept from recognizing him. And this is unique because I've often found that Jesus appears to me more as a stranger than he does very clearly. You know, for me, the way that the Lord shows up is mainly by the circumstances of my life all of a sudden lining up perfectly that I can't help but say, maybe the Lord is speaking to me in this moment. You ever had that situation where you're just like, everything is lining up and you're saying, I think God's in this right now. But I don't want him in this right now. This is hard. This is not what I was signed up for. Regardless of everything that goes on, he shows up on the road to Emmaus. He shows up at this letdown. And he asks them, what are you discussing together? What are you thinking about? And they respond with their faces cast down. You know, this is a cast down is a theological term. It's found in the Hebrew Bible, and it says to us that being cast down literally means having your gaze down on the floor, on the ground. And so what we hear is here is that there's something to highlight here. Sometimes we are very engulfed by our disappointments, and that if we just looked up, if you just looked up, you might see that Jesus is there with you. But the thing is, we have a hard time with this because we don't know where Jesus is in our story. You're on the road to Emmaus. Folks, how many times have you been on the road to Emmaus with your face down, walking to it, and all of a sudden you realize, where's Jesus? God, I didn't expect my marriage to end. I didn't expect that my finances would be this way. I didn't expect that someone I love would die. I didn't expect this. I didn't expect that. But what we don't see is we got this stranger. He's really not a stranger, folks. He's the Lord. And he's right there. And he's listening. And he's wondering with you. Thing is, we have to not turn a blind eye. You got to stop looking down. You just have to. Can't keep looking down. And so Jesus says, well, and they respond to him, they're like, have you not heard what's been going on in the world? Have you not been hearing what's going on in Jerusalem? Have you not heard? Seriously? How many times have you told that to Jesus? Lord, seriously? Is this what it's about? And I love what Jesus says here. Well, tell me. Tell me. You know, sometimes we want God to know everything about you, but you don't take the time to tell him about yourself. You want God to do it all, and he can, but he doesn't, but you don't even want to acknowledge what's going on. And for Cleopas and his wife, this is the moment where they pour out their disappointment, where they say the things that they have been thinking about. This is the moment where they say, as Christians, we did not expect this to happen this way. And folks, they have the audience of their Creator right there with them. For them, what was hard, as it is hard for us today, is the crucifixion with its suffering. They had no idea what to do with this. According to what they knew at that time about Scripture, This suffering, this death that comes out of life was just something that it was impossible. How could such disappointment redeem the world? And maybe they were chasing after Tarshish. Maybe they were thinking to themselves, if we follow Jesus, nothing bad's ever going to happen to us. If we follow Jesus, we're just going to get the good life all the time. And then all of a sudden they discover, well, I'm not getting the good life anymore. What do I do? But maybe, just maybe, God wanted them to be a witness in suffering. Maybe what Jesus was really saying as he explained the scriptures to them, he said, you know what? My people live in the dead center of the pain of this world, and so will you. Maybe there is redemption found when you are let down. Maybe life does come from death. Maybe you need to stop wondering why me, and maybe you can say God can use me to help or to prevent the suffering I see in the world and work towards justice. Maybe it's not just about me, but God created me to suffer alongside others so that together we would see the power of Jesus come to life in the midst of death. Maybe what Jesus says is true, that true glory comes by what is suffered. True glory, the very presence of God, comes by what we suffer. You see, Jesus opens up to them the scriptures and he shows them the very meaning of the mysteries of life and the truth about why Jesus came. He came to bring life to the prisoner. He came to bring release to the captives. And he says that you will be intertwined and interwoven with it. But fear not, for in the same way that I have overcome the world, so will you. Jesus teaches us that his words are life, and in them we will live. You see, what Cleopas and his wife needed was they needed to be shaken out of this world that they lived in. And they needed to enter into faith. That faith which operates not by what is seen, but operates by what is hoped and longed for. That faith that says to the city of Emmaus, you are not my home. You are not my final destination, but I am going back to Jerusalem because that is the very place where I belong. You ever notice how God just, people keep going one direction and God says, oops, U-turn, come back. That's the story of the Christian life, folks. It's right there. You know, we need scripture in our lives. We need it because we need to have faith to face the crucifixions of our lives and to know that this is not the end. Come what may, you're going to live. Come what may, you will be victorious. Come what may, through the power of Jesus Christ, you are assured and you are promised that there is life for you. And that's the promise, folks. That's what this is about. You know, I could have preached a message like this on Easter, but you know, the truth is we need to preach about Jesus being alive more than just one day out of the year. I mean, folks, this is not a joke. This is not a delusion. This is not a fantasy that Christians believe in, that Jesus came back to life. I mean, it makes for some beautiful songs, but come on. If he's not alive, then guess what? The devil, darkness, sin, all of that will devour and consume you. Everything will kill you. But because he is alive today, that is not your destiny. Because he is alive today, like I said, come what may, you will have life. You will have life. So friends, where are you today? Are you going to Emmaus? I've been on the road to Emmaus. We've all been on the road to Emmaus. Come back. Come back. I know what you're going through is hard. I know what you're going through feels like it's going to consume you. I know it hurts. But that's not it. That's not the end of it. It's not the final story. Because he lives, you also shall live. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again for you being alive with us. Lord, we often fail to remember and to forget just how present and powerful you are. I love what Cleopas and his wife said, was not our hearts warmed within us as he opened up to us the scriptures and broke bread with us. Lord, we need our hearts to be warmed by you. We need our lives to be assured once again that Emmaus is not it for me. It's not my destiny. It's not where I'm going to reside and live. I'm called back to Jerusalem. And so, Lord, as I'm called back to you, Lord, I do so now with a great assurance and a great faith. If you're calling me back from life, then I'm going to call others back to life. I'm going to look at the places in this world and in my neighborhood and in my family where there is death and sin. And Lord, I'm going to step into those places. And with great faith and boldness, I will say life will come from this. Lord, minister to us in these moments.